Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Yes, we're on the air.
Robert, it's fine. I won't try. I was trying to put you on to speaker, but every time I put you on to speaker, it says it's fine. Okay, I won't try that again. I'm on the landline. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
Sorry.
Welcome to the hottest internet radio show and podcast, The Author's Lab, a place for an eclectic and lively discussion of the dynamic and volatile world of writing, publishing, and marketing of the written word. I'm your host, Robert Batista. Follow me on Twitter at author R. Batista and make it a point to follow The Author's Lab on Blog Talk Radio. Just click the follow button on your page. Where is reality now? Lost in the world of the lost. Where is love? Here in the reality of my life. Where is hope in the world? Here in each happy moment. Loving will change the world. My gift to the world is love. These are the insightful words of today's guest, author, poet, nutritionist, Elizabeth Beadham. Elizabeth, welcome to the Author's Lab.
Thank you very much, Robert. That was beautiful. I've never heard one of my poems read so nicely, so thank you. And it's a real pleasure to be on the show today.
Yes, I really enjoyed reading through your book, so we'll get into that. But yes, you're welcome. Elizabeth, it's so great having you on the show, and there is so much to get into. Let's start off by you telling us what was your motivation to start your company, Power for Health, in 2004. Why did you feel the need?
Well, it's been quite a journey. For me, I've been very fortunate to have a very successful business career, and my husband and I had our own consultancy business, and we actually worked in the States, up and down the eastern seaboard between Washington and Boston, and we had an absolute ball. I missed my family. I'm very much a family person, really, and so we decided to come back home. And we couldn't get work together. They loved us in the States. They used to call us the Beathams. And they just loved us. And we had such fun. Robert, we had a ball. Ate wonderful food, drank fabulous wine, and just enjoyed our work so much. We were working in the utility industry. And when we got back home, we couldn't get work together. And I said, well, I'd like to do something different. I'd always been interested in health and fitness. John, my husband, was a snow and ice climber, so we used to run together and we were always down the gym. What I noticed in the States, even then in 2000, when we worked in the States, which was in sort of from 1996 to about 2003, was the obesity crisis was already starting in the States.
Right.
And so I think that sort of inspired me. And, of course, John was not just my husband, but he was my guru. And he encouraged me and said, well, why don't you just do a degree in nutrition? And so I did. And during that time that I was doing my degree, I was on the committee of the Chamber of Commerce in the town I was living in. And I met the editor of the Courier Group of newspapers here in the UK. And she asked me if I'd write an article on health. And that was the beginning of my journalism, actually. And for 3 years, I had my own column in the Courier Group called Health Watch. And that was a wonderful discipline around writing because, Of course, I had to research, be correct and up to date with the information I was giving people. And also every week I wanted to talk about a different subject and make it interesting. So that created, yes, a wonderful discipline for my writing and really something I do enjoy, which is working to deadlines. So that was really how I started Power for Health and started working, you know, in nutrition.
So talk about some of the challenges you faced in the first few years of your company. Or did you hit the ground running and find immediate success?
Well, I think I was lucky because, of course, as a journalist, I started writing for a number of magazines. So I became quite renowned in the area. I built up quite a following through my journalism. I used to have some really lovely comments on my writing. I'm still a journalist. I still write on health now for a number of publications.
Right.
So I think that helped me begin, launch my business, was the fact that I already had sort of people that knew me. And, of course, it was a way of advertising without it being very expensive. Working for yourself can be quite isolating, and I think
right.
As writers, as you'll probably appreciate as well, Robert, I think it can be quite a lonely life, really, as a writer.
Yes.
But, of course, I did start having clients. I had referrals from private hospital. I mean, I know you all know in the States that we have our wonderful National Health Service, but we also
yes.
have private hospitals here, private healthcare. And I used to get referrals. But what's the sort of tragedy around health and still is today is the fact that doctors often don't know that much about nutrition. And they used to refer patients to me who were really very poorly. And I used to worry about them. So then that sort of made me decide that wasn't very healthy for me. So I decided, and I suppose I went back to the beginning because I think the motivation was this obesity crisis, which,
right.
of course, you know is here as well in the UK. We're certainly following your footsteps as far as all the bad stuff's concerned. I think we do. So I wrote my own Healthy Living for Life program. I don't believe that diets work. I think diets make people miserable. Nobody wants to be on a diet for the rest of their life. And actually, they need to shift their belief system to start looking after themselves, start making good choices, and actually changing the whole of their lifestyle. So I wrote my own program, and then I started having groups, one-to-one, some one-to-one clients, but then I did groups of people, and I actually ran boot camps. I had two army guys, and we used to do boot camps in the park in Kenilworth, so that was good fun. I absolutely am passionate about my company and passionate about really inspiring people to have a healthier lifestyle and empowering them. You know, my company's called Powerful Health, and I think it's that aspect of it, of really helping people to take control of their own health is really key to my fulfillment as a person, actually. I feel it's my gift in life, and it's my mission in life to do that.
That's such a great thing. Elizabeth, I want to get into your wonderful book of poetry called Live, Love, Loss. My
life,
first question...
Life, it's life, love,
oh,
loss. Life.
Got it. Okay,
life.
There was a little typo here. Sorry
yes,
about
don't
that.
Worry, it's life.
called Life, Love, Loss. My first question is, why did you decide to write this book of your poems?
Right, well, that's another funny story, really, because I did have a literary agent in New York. It was Robert Lesher of Lesher and Lesher. Because I've actually written a Fan City children's book with a nutritional message. And I was lucky enough I sat on the phone in a hotel room in New York and phoned lots of agents, because to have a book published in the States, you really have to have an agent.
Right.
That was what I was told. So I sat on the phone and I managed to persuade Robert Lesher to take me on. The book did go out, actually, to a number of publishers, although we weren't successful. And I felt we over-edited the book, really, which was sad. We put a lot of work in. And I think I was rather disappointed, and it's ended up, this book. It's in the back of my mind, but it's in a drawer at the moment. And I felt that I really wanted to get something published that was mine. I'd contributed to a series of books called the Believe series of books. They're compilations of people's work that is has been pulled together by a girl called Sue Williams. And she's a dear friend of mine, and she had read a lot of my poems. I've written poems since I was a teenager. A lot of them have been lost, unfortunately, over the years. But when John and I first met, I used to write poems to him. And as part of the grieving when he died in 2010, I wrote a lot of poetry then to sort of help me deal with the grief. And so I'd got this whole load of poetry, and Sue really, she's been a very supportive friend since I lost John, and she really encouraged me. And it's been a wonderful experience, actually, having this book, having it published, and it's a bit scary because it's a very revealing book of who I am.
Right, exactly.
There are no masks. It's who I am, and some of them, when I read them, you know, when I look at it now, I think, oh, why did I put that in? But yes, it's written from my heart, and I'm going to read one to you now, am I? Would you like me to?
Yes, go ahead. That'll be fine. Before you do, I have one more question before you do. I want to know about the title. Besides the obvious play on the emotions of our being, why did you choose that particular title?
I think because it's in three parts, so it's about life, about love, and about loss. And it touches on every aspect of our emotions. I feel that poetry is the outpouring of our souls. And it's this wonderful way of expressing ourselves, that it is totally unique way and a very pure form of expression. And so I love to write poetry, and it sort of fell out naturally as I had poems that were about life. I certainly had poems about love, and I definitely had poems about loss, because, as I said, it had helped me actually writing my poems helped me get through my loss, helped me through the grieving process.
So we are honored that you will be reading some pieces from the book. Can you recite the first one for us and talk about its genesis?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to start with the start of the book, because this is sort of gives you a flavour of how I feel about the book and also the way it's written. So this is just a blank page.
Okay.
There is a blank page upon which I will open my soul to you. The discovery of who I am may be a loss to you, for in openness there ends a mystery. So I put that at the beginning of the book because I felt that it's true, really, because for me this is very much an opening of my soul. And I said it was scary, it was scary, but also it's been very cathartic and a wonderful experience because I have had some lovely feedback about my book.
Yeah, and that poem is good at the beginning because it draws you in. It's great. So, Elizabeth, most poems, myself included, most poets, myself included, usually dig deep, as you just said, in our souls for our inspirations.
Yes.
But in
yes.
doing this, we bare our souls and put it out there for the world to see and dissect. Now,
yes.
how does exposing your soul make you feel?
Well, I think it's a mixed emotional feeling because I feel very proud that I've achieved this. But also, I do feel I've revealed myself, perhaps too much in some of the poems. It's a very mixed feeling. But as I said, also quite cathartic. I feel joyful around my book. The cover is beautiful. It's the Tree of Life.
Right.
I knew exactly what I wanted the cover to look like. You know, I hadn't any doubt about that at all. I'm very happy with it. So I will read you, which seems appropriate, a beginning.
Go ahead.
A beginning. A small chrysalis. Cold, dank darkness is her life. Suddenly she feels warmth, a glimmer of light. She stretches and pushes, the shell-like tomb cracks. Fear of the unknown awakes and keeps her still. She's safe in her darkness, but dreams of hope and light. Light was there at the beginning. There is knowledge that she can fly. A sense of encouragement pervades this moment. She is not alone. The universe needs her to fly. The dark cask opens. The light shines. She stretches out her wings. Today, she flies. I love that poem because it's a sort of analogy of my life. And as I read another couple of poems, you'll understand where, you know, my background. That's one of my favorite poems in the book.
Yes, it is beautiful. You know, I want to ask you another question about your background. I know that you started Power for Health in 2004. And before that, you and your husband were in the States working in the electricity
yes,
field.
Yes, utility
what
industry.
Were you doing? Yes, what were you doing before then, before your husband and you were working in the States?
Well, John and I actually worked, we both worked for British Gas, which is a huge utility company in the UK. And
okay.
we both worked there for a very long time. I worked there for 19 years. John, I think, did 25 years. And I took redundancy first because they were changing the department I was working. I headed up for a large department, and they were changing it. And they offered me redundancy, so I thought it was a good idea. And actually, I was very fortunate because I got a job in an insurance and financial services company. And within 3 months, I was made a director of that company, which is sort of on the level with the vice president in the,
right.
in the US. And it was the pinnacle of my business career. And I was very I felt very sort of satisfied with that experience. But of course, I've always been very driven, and I was working. I used to work ridiculous hours. I'd be up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be driving to the middle of Wales or seeing a client somewhere, you know, in near London. I was working very long hours and really driving myself. And then John took redundancy, and he started our company, which was called Alpha Business Development.
Right.
And he got a contract. He got a contract in Scotland, and he said, "Look," he said, "this job is killing you, and I want you to come to Scotland." So that was what we did, and I joined him in Alpha Business Development, and we worked in Scotland to begin with, and then we came out to the States. So I've had a very successful business career, but I sort of reinvented myself, Robert.
Yes, we do have to do that from time to time.
I think we do, and I think it makes life so much more interesting.
Yes, yes.
Don't you
yes.
agree?
Yes, wholeheartedly. So, Elizabeth, let's switch gears and talk about your life as a professional health journalist, broadcaster, nutritionist, and well-being expert. Your bio states that you empower and motivate clients to embrace a healthier lifestyle. I understand the motivational aspect, but how do you empower your clients to eat healthier?
I think by teaching them to take control, teaching them to become more conscious and more aware of their own bodies, by teaching them to actually consciously make good decisions for their own health. So by empowering them, hopefully inspire them and motivate them, you know, by motivation, and actually I think I practice very much what I preach. So I am a product of my own belief in health and fitness. So I think by doing that is the way that I empower people. Encouragement as well. Encouragement and support. Because often when people, particularly when they're very overweight, There is an emotional problem at the bottom of that.
Right.
And it's often, I work very much holistically. So it's not just about nutrition. It's not just about fitness. It's about looking at the whole a person and trying to work with them for them really to understand how important it is. I'm really quite hard on people sometimes. I'm fortunate, you know, I have 3 grandchildren. I went to the gym with my grandson this week, and I say to them, look, if you don't take control of your health now, you won't be able to do that with your grandchildren.
Right.
That isn't a possibility for you. Your possibility, if you continue the way you're doing with your health, you could end up in a wheelchair in your 60s. I'm really quite harsh with people sometimes because they need to realize what they're doing to themselves, you know. In all my articles I write, move that body. We were born to move. And that's so important. A lot of people spend far too much time, not because they want to, you know, a lot of people are bound to their desk. I have noticed, you know, I do work corporately. A lot of corporate companies now are supplying their employees with desks where they can stand up. And a
right.
lot of companies are investing in health and fitness.
It only makes sense.
Absolutely makes sense, of course, because
No, I was just saying it only makes sense for the companies to basically invest in their employees' health, as you said.
Totally, yes, yes, of course. Because in so doing, they build loyalty with those employees, but also there'll be less absenteeism. I love to work with companies, actually. I was in New York in April and did a workshop for Morgan Stanley. It's a fantastic company. They have wonderful facilities for fitness. They have a gym and everything there, cafe. Very nice company. Yeah.
Yes, I'm from New York, so yeah, Morgan Stanley is definitely one of the higher end companies. It's a great company to work for right here. So,
yes.
Elizabeth, can you recite another one of your poems for us now?
Yes, of course. And the one I've chosen next is this. Really, is this tells you about me and my life. I was born in Birmingham. I was born in a house in Tyburn Road, and the address was 1211. So 1211. It was the very last house in Tyburn Road. And I wrote this poem when I was at Swanwick, which is a writer's summer school I go to, have been going to that for the last few years.
Right.
And this really speaks about my life. So you will know me a little better after this poem. I come from 1211, the house of horror, the battlefield of my parents' life, a frightened child. I come from being the peacekeeper, the sickly smell of beer and cigarettes, and my mother's words, keep your dad good. I come from teenage pregnancy, a river of tears and shame, head bent low with fear for the future. I come from being the mouse, to fighting for success, determination strong, the battlefield of my life. I come from tears of loss to tears of joy. I come from loneliness to the pleasure of solitude. I come from years of longing to the pleasure of knowing I have arrived. Now, I feel that was a bit heavy. Do you think?
I did read that poem when I was reading your book, and right there I said, you know, so many of us who've been through childhood situations and not always had the best childhoods can relate to that poem. And I want to commend you. That was such a great, great poem.
Thank you. So I thought I just want to do this one because it's more fun. And before we move on, I'd just like to quickly read this one because it always makes me smile if I read it. It's called Mind and Body.
Okay.
Mindful of mind and body. Mindful of the time, the pink rolled mat calls. It waits in the car's boot, curled neatly. It smells of sweat, fear and pain. What is there to gain? The mind resists the need. Shall I not bother or should I go? The battle proceeds with fervor. But I know I need this. It heals my body and my mind. Entering the hollowed hall, there is hardly room for me. Spreading the mat brings me ease. Lying, eyes tight shut, waiting to begin, listening to my labored breath. The teacher speaks in a quiet, calm voice. I strain to listen and lose myself. Body momentarily hesitates, not wanting to move. Then it begins. Like an automaton, I unwind. The movement becomes me, lost now in the need to stretch and strengthen, wanting to be subtle, toned, and young. Mind and body now as one. Yes, I'm really having fun. I love my yoga class.
I like that. So, Elizabeth, let's talk about publishing because we have so many up-and-coming authors who listen to this show. and would love to know how people get published. So who published your book, and talk about any challenges you had in the publishing process.
Okay, well, Life, Love, Loss was published by myself. So I self-published.
Okay.
Yeah, I self-published it. It was a fascinating process. It is not complicated. And I would really urge anyone out there who feels they have a message that will help other people to go that route to start with. I mean, I really want my fantasy book, my children's book, to be published, and I would like now to find, I'm looking, unfortunately, Robert Lesher died. My husband died, and then Robert Lesher died. I had a really painful few years. But I would like a new agent. I'm writing at the moment a book called Don't Die at Your Desk, which is a health and well-being manual for executives, basically. That book it's been in the pipeline for a couple of years because, of course, I came from a corporate background, and I really know I was killing myself, and the pressure of work these days is much harder than it was even 10 years ago.
Right.
So looking after your health is so important. So I think self-publishing is terrific. I've contributed to 3 books in the Believe series, and those have been quite successful. I have sold quite a lot of Life, Love, Loss. You can buy it on Amazon, and I would be wonderful if anyone listening would buy it. I think it's just less than $9, and you know you can certainly find Linda Beetham, Power for Health, or it just put the title in it. It will come up on Amazon. But I think I'm not sure. Which is the best method, Robert? I mean, what is your view on that?
Well, if we're talking publishing, self-publishing is definitely a way to go. Independent publishing. I started my own publishing company to publish my books, Street Angel and Brooklyn Story, to moderate success.
Good.
But of course, you know, we all think that the best way to publish is to go to one of the big houses. And of course, as you said earlier, you have to find an agent most of the time to do that. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But you know what, Elizabeth, there are so many people now publishing their books because it's so easy with Amazon, with Lulu, with all kind of easy publishing, Smashwords. You don't even have to pay anything to basically publish a book. And on the downside of that, Elizabeth, is that there's a lot of bad books out there, books that have typographical errors and are not formatted properly. So, you know, I look at your book and it's beautiful. And it's a measuring stick for self-publishing. But we're running out of time. Go ahead and say your last piece.
Okay. Well, I did want to read finally my favorite poem, if that's okay.
Right. Let's close with that favorite poem. Go ahead.
Okay, and I would like people to follow me on Twitter, please, Elizabeth Beetham at Power for Health. And here's my final poem. It's called Old Age. I hate old age. The very thought disgusts me. I run and fight with all my might because it's out to get me. Do not ask me to embrace it. I hate it. I want to be young. I want to have the youthful glow. I want to be admired, you know. I want time to change my mind, to climb Mount Everest, time to become a rock star, to write the book of books, to know exactly who I am. It's too soon to be old. I want to get undressed, have sex, not care, be bold, not old. Please let me.
Hear, 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 hear. Yes, that is a poem for us all. So Elizabeth, if people want to get in contact with you besides your Twitter handle, can you give out your website address and any other contact info?
Yes, that's great. Thank you. It's www.power4health.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, and I'd be very happy for anyone to email me at healing@powerforhealth.com.
This has been the Author's Lab with me, Robert Batista. My mission is to give writers a platform to show you who they are. One of my stories, My Baby Has No Name, can be read for free online at Booksy.com. My guest has been the empowering author, poet, nutritionist, Elizabeth Beaven. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for being my guest on the Author's Lab.
And thank you, Robert. It's certainly been my greatest pleasure.
I had a blast. Elizabeth,
and
have a
so
great
did I.
rest
it was
of your
fun.
Healing.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, Robert. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Good night. Bye now.